Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5, Patriots Playbook. 51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Sack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now... Here's John Rook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Show killer, huh? Nice to know that we're appreciated around here. We welcome you inside the playbook for Super Bowl Week 1. Yep, Super Bowl Week 1. Next week will be Super Bowl Week 2. My name is John Rook. Yeah, I do have a cold. Been fighting off the flu for the better part of the last week. Hit me, I guess, probably last Thursday or Friday. But you'll be happy to know I played sick on Sunday. Came in, played sick. Did whatever I could for the team. Helped the team get to a good spot where they could compete, where they could put their best foot forward. And then, of course, after the game was over, went home and collapsed for the last 48 hours and drug my butt in here to be with you here today. So, but that's the way it works. Glad to say we're no longer contagious, although... You'll have to excuse me if I wheeze or I sniff or cough or something like that during the course of the program. It's that time of year. There are, of course, a million different things to talk about when you're going on to the Super Bowl and you are right on the precipice of doing something that no other team in National Football League history, the 88 years of NFL history, has ever done, which the Patriots are, of course, now one game, one win away from doing. I have to admit, as a Patriots fan, as a follower, as someone who has covered this team for the better part of the last 20 years now, I never thought I would see this day. I never thought I would. I'm not even sure I fathomed what this day would be because, you know, in this day and age of parity, of equality, of salary caps, free agency, everything that's there. In the current atmosphere in which we exist now in professional sports, not just the NFL, but in pro sports overall, I don't know that the term undefeated ever came into my mindset. And when you cover professional sports for as long as I have, and that includes the collegiate sports as well, because I do quite a bit of work in the college ranks as well, I just don't know that those terms ever come to fruition because it's ludicrous. Nobody goes undefeated. Nobody goes undefeated. College football teams play, 12-game regular seasons. They don't go undefeated anymore. They don't. This year we had, for the first time ever, in the BCS championship game, a team with two losses, and LSU ended up winning the doggone thing. So, undefeated? What the Patriots are doing now, and what they could do, and what we could, all be talking about 2 weeks from, yesterday and today, is something that we all of us, no matter how many of you are listening right now, no matter how many of you will be listening to this program at some point in time, if you download it for podcast or you click onto the website, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but over 2 million hits in the last month to Patriots.com, which is extraordinary. Extraordinary. And we're happy to have you. did anybody ever think of that? And if you did, I think you're out of your rocker for thinking about that. That's how extraordinary what the Patriots are getting ready to do is. It's mind-boggling. And the more, we've talked about the word undefeated off and on pretty much, I guess, since week three, maybe? Well, I think that was the first time that someone actually brought it up, and the PFW guys brought it up. And I know we had a bunch of emailers and a lot of you who are longtime listeners and followers, of our programming here on Patriots.com radio and of this particular program as well on the playbook. It's come up in conversation. It's come up in all of your emails since way back when, since early to mid-September. And it was kind of like, geez. And we talk about things like this because we can. The guys down the hallway in the locker room, they don't. They never do. We've talked about that as well, even though they're undoubtedly talking about it now because winning in the Super Bowl, the undefeated thing, will be a byproduct of that. But we can talk about it because that's what we do. That's how we generate interest. And the fact that now you're really here and you really have a chance to do this still just is it's mind-boggling. See, now, I'm old enough to recall what happened back in 72 when the Dolphins went through this. And I was just a teenager at the time, but I do remember watching them play. I do remember thinking, because I was a big Dallas Cowboys fan growing up, I remember thinking that, well, there's a part of me that would love to see the Dolphins do this because, you know, I was into dynasties. I was into teams that, you know, won a lot, and because they were getting ready to do something that no other team had ever done before. And then, of course, there's a part of me that says, oh, I don't want them to win. What are you talking about? I'm a Cowboy fan. Are you nuts? I want them to lose. Especially since the Cowboys had won the previous Super Bowl and had beaten the Dolphins. The Dolphins turned around and used that loss to inspire them to an undefeated season. So I was kind of 50-50 on that, but I know one thing. I watched. And I know that there will be many pro football fans, whether you love or you hate or you don't care, one way or the other, about the Patriots, you will watch. And the reason that you will watch, whether you root for or against the Patriots, you will watch because you want to remember you saw history being made. It's that simple. And I don't think I'm really stretching it here to say that, I don't think we'll ever see this again. I mean, I guess we could. I guess it's conceivable because it's inconceivable that we're is where we are right now. That's inconceivable. But here we are. So could it happen again? Yeah, sure. I guess it could. Will it? We don't know. The fact that we're here is totally just... I sat here and I tried to tussle with it over the last couple of days, knowing that we'd have this program to do today. And this, by the way, will be our final week of the playbook this week because traditionally, those of you that have... been Patriots followers and Patriots.com radio listeners over the last few years know that in the previous appearances in the Super Bowl in this decade, since we started this programming for you here on the website, PFW guys all jet out to wherever the Super Bowl site is, and they kind of take over all of the programming from there because I'm just I'm a peon around here with the contract employee status. I also have a bunch of... college basketball duties that pretty much, as I'm sure you, undoubtedly many of you are aware, take up a lot of my time at this time of year. That's why I have the show from time to time from a hotel room, because I'm traveling that way. And plus, fact is nobody's ever invited me. So, you know, without an invite, I don't know how easy it would be to go. You know, it's the way it works. Wink, wink. But anyway, those guys will, and everybody will carry on from here on out. And by the way, second hour of the program today, both Brian Lowe and Christina Acra from Patriots Today, who will also be producing the Patriots Now programming that you will be able to download starting next week from Glendale, Arizona. They're going to be joining us here on the program in hour number two. So, yeah, you want to stay tuned for that. Christina has been a guest on this program before, and she obviously is, every bit as good to listen to, as far as I'm concerned, as she is to watch on Patriots Today programming. And B-Lo will be with us. He normally joins us as well on most Tuesdays during the course of the year to kind of break down the last game and look ahead to the next one, and we'll take care of that with him. So that's coming up in the second hour of the program today. the other thing I want from you is, I was trying to think of a good topic for us to go back and forth on today via email, and... I'm just not sure. I mean, how much real X and O and breakdown of this game do we have to do? Any at all? I mean, if you're a Giants fan, or if you are a fan of another team and you've stumbled onto our programming here for the first time, so you're listening to us for the first time, we do quite a bit of that, as you might imagine. More so than your normal run-of-the-mill, I think, sports talk radio affiliate in your neck of the woods. We do that because the people here are, generally speaking, hardcore football fans. Patriots fans in particular, but hardcore football fans. So we spend a lot of time looking at X's and O's. We look at trends. We look at tendencies. We talk stats. We talk numbers. We talk matchups, all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, we do, as the show opened, suggested, a lot of the fun stuff in between, like you might hear, and obviously you know the PFW guys do as well, and they do as good a job of that as probably anybody. But in terms of breaking down and comparing and contrasting the Patriots personnel and the Giants personnel, I mean, do we really have to do that? First of all, these teams played each other just a few weeks ago, right? let's see, 4 weeks ago. Patriots won the game 38-35. As I mentioned with the guys a little bit ago, it was a 10-point lead until late in the game. The Giants scored late, got it to a point where they could, you know, try an onside kick. Patriots recovered it, game was over. They had a double-digit lead that they couldn't hold on to, at home, no less. So, you know, I guess there's several different thoughts that can be interjected here. There is, of course, an X factor in Tom's foot. You know, if you've seen the pictures online of his foot in the boot, his right foot in a protective boot as he was getting out to visit his girlfriend Giselle in New York yesterday, that's fine. Whatever. I mean, I'm sure it's just a precautionary thing. It really did not alarm me at all. I mean, the fact is that if you get a shot of Tom Brady with a boot on his foot, yeah, that in itself is probably somewhat alarming because you just don't see that stuff. And, of course, Patriots play this kind of stuff close to the vest. But should we be alarmed? No. No. If he was really hurt, after he hurt it, he wouldn't have ever gone back into the game, you know, for those, you know, final few snaps, especially after the game was clinched. You know, the Patriots were chewing up the last 9 minutes of the clock on Sunday. If he was really hurt, nah, you'd have seen Castle in there. So, you know, I expect him to be healthy. I think most everybody expects him to be healthy. I don't think when the Patriots return to practice this week, which will be Thursday, I believe, is when they'll actually start workouts for the game itself. I'd be surprised if you see, you know, him work out. I don't think he'll work out here. I think he'll continue to get treatment and he'll, you know, do the film study, the requisite film study and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, these guys still have, I think, the Giants fairly fresh in their memory. I mean, you're talking about, you know, only a month going by between games, between these two sides. So you look at this almost as a divisional opponent rematch. And even so, I really don't think you get divisional rematches as soon as a month apart. In the regular season, do you? Not usually, you don't. But I think this is going to be very much like you would game plan for, say, a rematch with the Dolphins, the Jets, or the Bills. And I don't mean to underscore or undersell the Super Bowl. It is still the game. It is still the most watched individual athletic event in the calendar year on the globe, on this planet. More people will watch this game than any other single game in this calendar year. There's no doubt about it. That's what the Super Bowl is. But the Patriots will approach this like I said, they will approach this like a divisional rematch. They just played one. It'll still be, and the Giants personnel and the matchups will still be relatively fresh, because keep in mind now, Giants played everybody in that game. They didn't do the wuss thing like Tampa did and like Dallas did and like some people suggested they do. They wanted to play, and I gave the Giants a tremendous amount of credit after that game, and I'm still giving it to them. They wanted to play that game to win, and they darn near did it. So that's in and of itself why I think this game will be closer than the current 12-point spread. By the way, the line opened up at 14, right? Vegas line opened up at 14 for this game. It's already down to 12. What does that tell you? Tells me that there's a tremendous amount of money obviously already moving on the Giants, that the Patriots have not, over the last 2 months of this season, they have not been a good team against the number. Far from it. Patriots have been a horrible team. They've been a mediocre team. Not horrible. Mediocre team overall against the point spread this year because of the double-digit point spreads that they've been favored by. And late in the season, they've had a hard time covering that because teams have geared up for this or taken out that or whatever they've done to match up. Excuse me. But fact is that you know, the number continues to shrink. I think it'll probably continue to – I think you'll probably continue to see money come in on the Giants if you are so inclined. I'll venture a guess here, and I say that I think that the number could probably get down to about 10, 9.5 or 10 by kickoff. I think that's possible. When you consider the Patriots had a 10-point lead at New York, did not really play their best game defensively, allowed New York to score late as well at Giants Stadium back at the end of December, ended up winning the game by 3, I could see where that number could shrink to right at that 9 to 10 point range, I could see that. And I think there will be some people that will probably put a little extra cash on the Patriots simply because they want a winning ticket for a team that went 19-0. Hey, look what I did when the Patriots went 19-0. You know, I bet on the Pats. Well, I'm sure there'll be some that'll take a shot at that. You know, just for posterity's sake. Posterior's sake. So, I guess there's several different ways to look at it. But the fact is that I expect that the Giants will probably, like the two playoff games that the Patriots have played before them, I expect that the Giants will keep this game close and keep it within shouting distance into the third, maybe even into the fourth quarter again, much like it was in New York. I don't know that the Patriots will give up a double-digit lead, or let me put it this way. I don't know that the Patriots will be find themselves in a double-digit hole going into the fourth quarter like they did in New York, but I don't know that the Giants will necessarily give up a double-digit lead as well. I think if anything is more likely to happen, I think the Patriots, knowing that they can come back from a big deficit, are probably less likely to get in that position to begin with. Does that make sense? Hope so. Didn't make any sense to me, but I just said it anyway. Forgive me. It's the drugs that are settling in here. But I don't know that breaking it down and talking about the matchup of Michael Strahan on Matt Light, I just don't know if that's really going to have anything to do with it. That's why I think that, you know, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about the game and we're going to talk about who's going to Arizona and where this puts the Patriots and the overall pantheon of great teams, not just in the NFL, but I'm talking about in all sports. All sports. And we're going to spend this week talking about that. And then next week when the guys get to Arizona and you listen to the PFW and then you go log on and get Patriots Today and you get your latest fix of all things Patriot from Arizona, will there be any real X's and O's? And the answer to that is no, there won't be. And there won't be because nobody cares. Nobody wants to know. We've already done it. It was a short time ago, and it's already done. It's over. We know what to expect. It's going to be a matter of execution. So I'm going to save all that trouble for you right here, right now. I'm going to save it all for you. It's all going to come down to a matter of execution. You have the same matchups. You have largely the same personnel going against the same personnel as we saw a month ago. So that's going to take a lot of this buildup. It's going to take a lot of the mystique away from this game. My guess is by the time we get to the kickoff on February 3rd, by the time we get there, we're going to be so ready for it. We're going to be ready for it by this weekend, and we're still going to have another week to go. So if you really think that the two-week stretch between the championship, the conference championships and the Super Bowl is long, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because this two-week stretch is going to be as long a two-week stretch as you've probably ever experienced in your sports life. That's just the way it is. And I don't mean to depress you. It's a fact here. One thing that we don't do here is we don't pull punches. We give you thoughts as we see them. We give you our opinions as we understand the facts to be. And they give you our best guess scenario, and that's what I'm doing here. Not going to be a whole lot of game planning. The Patriots already know how to beat the Giants. Conversely, the Giants already know what it will take to beat the Patriots. Executing that game plan is a different story. And even if they execute the game plan, you're still going to have to get some help. That's because the Patriots have a definitive advantage over everybody they've played this year in a physical matchup. They are superior talent-wise. That's not denigrating the Giants. It's just that the Patriots' offense makes everything else pale by comparison. They had a mediocre to lousy day on Sunday. Only put up 21 points on the board. Bill Belichick said it after the game as well. We left some points out there on the field today. And they still won the game by 9. They still weren't headed really in the fourth quarter much. Because the defense came up big with their red zone play and holding the Chargers to 4 field goals. I mean, wow. And I think Teddy Bruschi said it best after the game. It's like, you know, well, we can't depend on Tom Brady and the offense to roll up 400 yards every game. And he's right. So if you're looking at a total team, Patriots fans, you should be thrilled with the way the defense played. Did they bend a little bit? Yeah. Would you like to see some things shored up a little bit? Sure, we all would. And for those that follow the program, Tuesdays are normally nitpick Tuesdays. We pick our nits around here. We try to come up with things that could be better, could be improved, could be worked on before the next game. And so in the spirit of nitpick Tuesday, it's kind of hard to pick nits with a team that's 18-0 now, isn't it? I think we said that last week, and the week before, and the week before that, and the week before that, didn't we? And probably a few weeks before that as well. But in the spirit of nitpick Tuesday, if you could change one thing about this team, if you could improve one aspect of this team, if you could say or do one thing that would improve the Patriots' chances of winning the Super Bowl, one thing, what would it be? Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com. That's the email address. That's how we want you to get in touch with us here on the program today. If you like, you can certainly pick up the phone and call. It's 508-543-7482. Again, that telephone number is area code 508-543-7482. But webradio at patriots.com, the email address, and that's how you'll reach us. And I'd like you to consider that question for a moment, at least. And think about if you could change one thing about this team in the spirit of nitpick Tuesday, if you could change one thing about this team to increase the team's chances of winning and realizing perfection and etching their name in the record book forevermore, what would it be? I'm going to have to give that one some thought myself. Because now that I've come up with a question, I'm kind of like, that's kind of, I have to give that some thought. So I hope you'll give it some thought as well, and I hope you'll converse with me again. This is our final week of the program here. We'll take it, let the Patriots Today and Patriots Football Weekly guys take it in Glendale, Arizona, starting next Tuesday. Of course, Patriots Monday programming next Monday will originate from Arizona as well, leading up to game time between the Pats and the Giants in Super Bowl 42. So we have today, we have tomorrow, and we have Thursday's programs this week here inside Patriots Playbook to kind of look back and look ahead at the same time. So I'd love to hear from you. If you are a first-time listener, great to have you with us. Whether you're a Giants fan or a fan from another team, we're glad that you sampled. We're glad that you're here. Want your input, want your feedback, want your comments, criticisms, suggestions, whatever it may be. Want you to just take a couple of minutes and fire off that email. Let me know where you're writing from, okay? That's all I need to know. Just let me know where you're writing from. We've been so fortunate in this program, like PFW in Progress, to hear from so many all over the globe, all over the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, South America, certainly all points in between in North America. It's been wonderful. It's been a great thing to actually connect with so many Patriots fans and so many football fans all over the planet. It's been nothing short of phenomenal. And again, as I mentioned earlier, fact is that in the last month, and you'll see this printed in your Patriots Football Weekly magazine if you subscribe to it, when you get it in the mail this week, there were over 2 million hits on the website alone this last month. 2 million on Patriots.com. So people are coming here. People are clicking on. People are getting here. People are interested. And obviously, why wouldn't they be? Because they want to do whatever they can to keep up with or get a small piece of history. And this is exactly what Patriots are about to do. I mentioned also, just a couple of moments ago, I mentioned briefly, that if the Patriots are able to complete this voyage to perfection, and they do go 19-0, and we actually do realize it, that the Patriots have to go down in my book as maybe the single greatest sports team of all time. Why? And no matter the sport, why wouldn't they be? I mean, when you consider the day and age in which we live, the environment in which the Patriots have to operate, both on the field and off the field, when you consider how tough it is because other sports play so many more games than the Patriots and than they do in the NFL, why wouldn't the Patriots be considered one of the greatest sports teams, having one of the greatest sports seasons of all time, if they're able to complete this. I'd like for you to give me some of your thoughts on that as well. Can you come up with another similar season or a similar team to the Patriots and what the Patriots have done this year in your annals, in your estimation? Has there been another team that stood out? Football, basketball, baseball, what have you. Doesn't matter. Hockey, I don't care. What, you know, something that, you know, certainly within our relatively close by memory banks, or something maybe that you've researched or that you knew about. I'd be interested to know. I'd be interested to know, because I think the Patriots will have to go down as one of the greatest teams of all time, certainly having one of the greatest seasons of all time in the history of all sport. Forget collegiate, amateur, professional, whatever. I'm talking all sports. Throw them all in there. And what the Patriots are doing this year and what they could end up with this year could end up being the best that there ever will be and could be the best that we'll never see again, ever. That may be what we're all experiencing right now. That's how, ooh, that's heavy. You know, that's what we're all experiencing right now. It's kind of what, that's kind of where I'm coming from today. So Christina and Brian are joining us from Patriots Today in the second hour of the program. We will also have some post-game sound from the locker room and from the podium in the aftermath of the win over the Chargers in the AFC Championship on Sunday that we'll also get to. A couple of choice tidbits for you in case you might have missed it. Some good stuff to kind of get you warmed up and ready to go and already looking forward to the kickoff of Super Bowl 42. It, what is it, 6:18 Eastern time on February 3rd? God, it's a long way away. We'll get to some of that coming up next Inside the Playbook.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points V Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
A tremendous performance. The Patriots win the AFC Championship.
Your New England Patriots are AFC champions and are off to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. And you can join them when they play for their fourth Super Bowl championship just by shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com. That's right. Go to the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com for your AFC Championship gear, and you could win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. You can get the same AFC Championship hat and t-shirt the players were wearing on the field. Check out the huge collection of AFC Champion merchandise with items like sweatshirts, ladies' tees, keychains, and many Pro Shop exclusive items that you won't find anywhere else. Can't make it to Foxborough? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and gear up for the Super Bowl and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. And remember, just for shopping at PatriotsProShop.com, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
El Tri de Hugo Sánchez contra Ron.
Patriots Playbook. As the Pats celebrate an AFC championship and look forward to Super Bowl 42 against those New York Giants coming up in a little less than 2 weeks. I'm John Rook here inside the playbook again with you on a Tuesday. Email address, webradio@patriots.com. Again, Christina Acker and Brian Lowe from Patriots Today will be joining us in the second hour of the program. We have some post-game audio that we'll get to as well in the program, but I've got some emails that I want to share with you that have been coming in over the course of the last couple of days. I got a great one here from Sawyer in Waterloo, Iowa, who says, when are the Patriots holding their press conference to announce that Bill is coaching again next year? I knew that was going to make me laugh and cough at the same time again. Again, my apologies.
I have no idea. I don't have the slightest idea.
I had to catch my breath there. It's what happens when you're fighting off the flu. But, hey.
I had it all last week.
Well, it was you that gave it to me, probably. You dumb sack of you-know-what. It's like, what
were you even here last week?
One day last week, yes, Tuesday. Notice that I started feeling bad about Thursday. That's about right. About 24 hours or so incubation time. It's about right. Sure, I got it from you. He's speechless now. He's like, oh, well, damn, I'm sorry. It's the way it works. It's the way it works. But, hey, we're recovering because this weekend was miserable. Woo-hoo-hoo. Man. You know, I thought that was really funny that the Colts hold the press conference to announce that Tony Dungy was staying because of all of the conjecture back and forth as to whether or not he would return. The one thing that strikes me about that, again, this is my personal opinion here. I'm happy to share with you, but frankly, I'm kind of like, why? Why did they do that? I mean, shouldn't it have been assumed that he was coming back? I realize that, you know, he's a family-first kind of guy, but I think we all realize it takes a different individual to coach in the NFL. I think it takes a different individual to be in professional sports or to be involved in sports, period. Anybody that tells you that family is first, I think that's a nice gesture. It's wrong. It's wrong. Not for someone who's in this business. It's wrong. It helps to have your family certainly supportive of what you do. But when it's in season, your family comes after. Now, in a life or death matter, well, obviously, I think we all realize that it is what it is, and you go and you take care of whatever you have to take care of. But when it comes down to doing your job, please. Now, does Tony Dungy have more money than he really needs? Probably. Could he have walked away? Probably. But he's not. And that tells me that he still has a burning desire to compete, which most people who compete at this level must have. I mean, you don't come into this thing thinking, yeah, I'll give it a shot. You don't do that. You get your ass kicked if that happens. You can't do that. You have to come in with the mindset that you are going to win, that you're going to compete hard, that you're not going to let anything get in the way. Because if you let something get in the way, you're going to fail. So my guess is that Tony's decided, you know what, as long as my family backs me on this, I will come back and I will get take another shot because I think we have, with a healthy Marvin Harrison next year, I think we can be right back to where we were last year and give the Patriots a run for their money. That's my guess. One shot. Now, whether if the Colts win or lose next year, then I think you see Dungy more than likely he will step away. But I just thought that was kind of funny, so I wanted to read that email because I thought Sawyer kind of hit the nail on the head. When is Bill Belichick going to do that? Well, you know what? Patriots will do that when Bill Belichick gets tired of doing what he's doing. And right now, Bill's too worried not only about not only playing this game on February 3rd, he's too worried about creating a legacy for not only himself but for the Patriots and the overall pantheon of the NFL. We're talking about doing something that nobody's ever done before, right? And nobody may ever do again. Who wouldn't want to stick around for that? Who wouldn't want to try to build on that legacy? I mean, you could certainly make an argument that there's no other place to go but down after this. That the challenge of staying at this level will be impossible to live up to. This is what the Patriots have now created for themselves, folks. This is what they've created for themselves. They've created an impossible legacy to live up to. Are you okay with that? I mean, next year, when we're right back here and we're talking in Patriots playbook and we're doing things and we're breaking down the game, you know, with the Buffalo Bills, and the Patriots ungodly lose it. The earth opens up and swallows us all, and they lose a freaking football game next year. And so many people will complain because, oh, my God, the Patriots are terrible. They can't beat the stinking Bills. Do you see now what kind of a legacy you're building yourself up to and how you can't live up to it? You can't. It's just, it's crazy. It's craziness is what it is. But this is the environment which the Patriots have created for themselves now. They will fall short in everything else that they do, unless, of course, they go undefeated again, which may be the most stupid thing anybody's ever thought. But, hey, you know, if they rip off five or six in a row to start next year here, it'll start again. Absolutely. Probably start before that. Because we're all stupid. Tom sends this. He goes, first of all, kudos to Phillip Rivers. He showed how tough he could be and played a very good game. My question is about Moss. I didn't notice him around any of the players during the celebration. I wanted to know if anyone had seen him on the field or in the locker room. I wasn't sure he was around due to the situation that happened earlier in the week. Also, I just finished reading the Globe and the mention that Brady was in a walking boot. I assume that the injury would have to be a break or fracture. I doubt he'd be in a boot over a sprain or simple bruise. Well, that's not necessarily the case. No. My guess is it's a sprain. Just a guess. If it is a fracture or something, well, then obviously eventually that would get revealed. But, yeah, that would certainly be significant. But this is just a precautionary thing, I would guess, that they're doing for him. In case he, you know, like tweaks his ankle stepping out of his car on his way to go see Giselle or something. I don't know. You see guys in boots all the time after they've had sprains. I see it in college basketball all the time. So just the fact that he's in a boot does not mean it's a break or a fracture. As far as Moss, you know, there may be some truth to that. Maybe he wanted to lay low. Maybe he thought it was appropriate that he laid low. Frankly, I don't blame him for laying low. Especially if he is indeed a victim in this particular instance of an extortion plot, as was alleged throughout the course of last week. So maybe he just thought it was kind of like to let the other guys go. And besides, he's here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to win the big one. And that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And you're right about Phillip Rivers. The fact now that he apparently did have arthroscopic surgery last Monday and then lined up and played on Saturday or on Sunday, I think is extraordinary. And if I'm a Chargers fan, that's all I'm talking about right now is the toughness and the guts and the grit and the desire that my quarterback just showed. I got to tell you, that impresses the hell out of me. I'm a little disappointed in a guy like LT, to be honest with you. Although Tomlinson, with a sprained medial collateral, he's right. You don't have any burst as a running back. You just don't. Been around the game long enough to know that sometimes sprained MCLs are worse than torn ones because you can go in and fix a torn one and be good as new, potentially, in anywhere from 4 to 8 or 9 months, depending on the severity of the tear. A sprained one, you got to give at least 4 to 6 weeks to heal, and then again, it may not even be healed by then. And if you tweak it again, you can knock yourself back another 4 to 6 weeks. It's the kind of thing where you really have to lay off it completely for a month to 2 months before you can be assured that, you know, it's going to be, there's nothing to go in and fix. It's rest. That's the difficult part with a sprain. So, another lot of people that are disappointed, Chargers-wise, in LaDainian Tomlinson, but, it doesn't surprise me. He got hit on it in the second carry of the ball game. Had 2 carries for 5 yards, never came back because he got hit again, or the first carry of the ball game. He carried the ball one more time after that, got stuffed, and that was it. He was done. So, but I am definitely impressed with Phillip Rivers. And frankly, I didn't think he had that kind of toughness in him. I guess apparently he does. Colin says, what a game. Kind of had me sweating it after Brady threw his third INT. What about Kevin Faulk? He is one of the most important parts of this offense and has been since he was drafted. In my opinion, I have to say that he is one of the most underrated running backs in the game. He might not be flashy with his numbers, but his ability in the clutch is uncanny. I think that the Super Bowl will be like that of when we play the Panthers and remain close. Manning and his Giants have played them like this, this postseason, but it will end the same way, 32-29 Patriots. Okay. Jeff says, 2 questions. I've seen the Brady boot photos, but I don't think that's a big deal. Do you? He was obviously off in the AFC Championship game, but I don't think he'll be any worse than that in the Super Bowl with 2 weeks off to get his foot treated. Well, Jeff, I absolutely agree. I don't think he'll be any worse off for the wear. He'll get treatment for 2 weeks. I don't think he'll practice this week. So don't be shocked when you don't see him out there practicing or you get reports that Brady was not at practice on Thursday or Friday. Oh, the world's coming to an end. It's not going to just – you get it here first, okay? You're going to hear that, and ESPN will talk about it, and your own local places, wherever you live, they're going to talk about it. But you got the lowdown here, okay? That's why you come here. Fact is he won't practice this week. Now, that has not come officially from the team or anything else, but just don't be surprised if he doesn't practice. I'm sure they're going to take all precautions that they can. I mean, logic tells me that. What about you? Knowing the way this team operates, knowing how they play things close to the vest, injury-wise, knowing that they don't want to mess with the franchise, come on. This is not rocket science. He says, on iTunes, you can download a video of the AFC Championship game that shows all the highlights. For the Chargers highlights, the audio comes from the San Diego radio broadcast, and for Patriots highlights, the audio comes from the Patriots radio broadcast. This becomes unintentionally hilarious because while the Patriots radio team is calm and professional throughout, the San Diego play-by-play guy sounds like he's having a heart attack every time the Chargers get a first down, let alone a field goal. Locally, the Bears radio play-by-play guy is also an excitable boy who raises his voice every time they get a 5-yard gain. Which do you prefer, a professional broadcast or the one that sounds like your most spastic fan shot out of a cannon? Well, let's see, Jeff and Bartlett, thank you. being a play-by-play guy myself, I would tend to think that you need somebody who has, you know, a relatively calm and professional demeanor throughout. Every 5-yard carry isn't worthy of going spastic, as you put it. But there's also, a certain degree of energy that you have to have throughout. I think you do need to raise and lower your voice as the game ebbs and flows. I think that's appropriate. Without having heard the San Diego radio broadcast, it'll be hard for me to comment directly on it. I'll take your word for it. But I certainly have listened to and appreciated for a number of years Gil and Gino and the Patriots broadcasts, and I think they do it as well as anybody. So, you know, it's hard for me to really compare to the best because I think everything pales by comparison when it comes to those two guys. All right, Alex from Munich, Germany. Welcome, Alex. He says, what do you think of the defense in this game? I think they really stepped up, and without them, the score would have been a lot closer. Even another team would travel to Arizona, maybe. Is Brady's role in the Super Bowl in danger? No. Yes, they stepped up. There's no doubt about that. The red zone was outstanding. Defense was outstanding. They held them to 4 field goals. You keep a team out of the end zone. In a championship game, you're going to win. They left little doubt about that. That's why I never really felt like the game was in trouble, even though the Patriots were, you know, for them, sputtering on offense. Says, I'm thinking of coming to Boston with my dad during the Super Bowl. Do you know any event where we could watch the game with Pats fans? The only problem is that I'm not 21 yet. Well, Alex, I would say that you could probably go to just about any bar restaurant in the greater Boston area when you come this way with your dad, and you'll see Pats fans in attendance no matter where you go. Okay? Depends on where in Boston you're going to, but I think you could probably find several on the internet. I could point you to a few if you need to, but I kind of feel like you won't have much trouble finding a spot to watch the game with Patriots fans. So I hope you do get a chance to come on over and be a part of everything that goes on during the day. TG in the Land of Giants says it's already started. From Brady's foot to Giants fans calling Lawrence Tynes the new LT, 2 weeks of complete and utter bull bleep. Is it just me, or is the Super Bowl becoming more and more ridiculous? I hate that it's 2 weeks. 1 week is enough. Despite all that, thanks for bringing back the blog. Talking about the PFW guys. Oh, the only thing I want to know is how the hell are the Patriots going to beat the G-men? This will not be easy, gang. Vegas is wrong in making that number. It's way too high. There is no fear down here. The Giants can beat the Patriots. Well, sure they can. Anybody can beat anybody. No doubt in my mind. They just haven't been able to do it with the Patriots this year because the Patriots are just too stacked. They've got answers. They've got more answers than the Giants have. That's why the game will be different. I agree with you that the number is high. I agree with you that the number was too high to begin with. That's why you're already seeing it shrink down to 12, and don't be surprised if it gets down to a single digit. Don't be surprised at all. Won't shock me. You know, and if the Giants, by some chance, are able to replicate what they did at the end of December at Giants Stadium, and the Patriots were, say, to, oh, I don't know, turn the ball over like the three Brady interceptions this last week, then, yeah, sure, absolutely, the Giants can win the game. I'm just thinking that, you know, they're not, because we all know after Brady has a subpar game, what does he normally do the next game? He roars back. Okay, David says, okay, Moss has had two bad games, we won, so no biggie. Well, first of all, he hadn't had two bad games, okay, David? You have to give credit to the defense. Defense took him out. The defense picked their poison. They said, Randy Moss is not going to beat us. And that's what happened. Randy Moss didn't beat them. But Randy as a decoy is almost as good as Randy in single coverage because it allows other guys to be open. I mean, that's how, you know, Benjamin Watson got his touchdown catches, and how Jabbar Gaffney got his last week, and how Wes Welker got his last week. I mean, it's because, you know, you're paying attention to one guy, other guys are going to be open, or at least in single coverage, so as long as they're doing their job and running their routes, they're going to be open. Moss didn't have bad games. Give the other guys a little bit of credit. let's see what else here. Let's get another one here. Patrick in Ontario. First of all, a win's a win. I'm happy the Pats are headed to Arizona, but as I was watching the AFC Championship, I was frustrated by the absence of shots taken downfield in the first three quarters to Moss, Stallworth, or Watson. In your opinion, was this a product of the offensive game plan? Did San Diego take away the deep threat through coverage and pass rush, or was it another factor like the wind or Brady's health? Well, the wind was partly it, because it was a little blustery down there on the field. So that was partly it, number one. Number two, the Chargers did do, based on what I observed, the Chargers did do a lot of what the other teams have done in the last month. They've played a lot of two-deep zone, a little cover two. They've been able to double-cover Randy Moss in certain situations deep and allowing the guys underneath to be open. And so that gave the Patriots the opportunity to hit San Diego underneath. They were trying. They left the middle of the field wide open because on occasion they were trying to rush Brady, which they got to him a couple of times. And then on other occasions, I watched guys like Sean Merriman drop back into coverage, and still they couldn't keep up with what the Patriots were running. A lot of times when he would run, jump back into coverage, that's when Lawrence Maroney would run the ball, and that's why Lawrence had some of the success that he had running the ball against San Diego. Patriots on offense were able to read properly what the defense was giving them. So that's kind of where I looked at that one, Patrick. It's probably a combination of both, but that's a little bit of it. Henry says, I watched the championship game again and have been listening to all of the press conferences on iTunes. Kevin Faulk was absolutely huge But that didn't surprise me one bit. I mean, over the last 8 years, how many times have we seen that guy make a tough catch for a crucial first down or pull off a huge screen play on second and 18 or make that one subtle cut that is the difference between being stopped after 5 yards and getting 11 when we needed 10? I couldn't have said it better. You're absolutely right. I think back on so many big moments and so many big games, and there's Falk saving the day. He's not the 1,000-yard guy or the 20-carry-per-game guy or the goal-line guy or the highlight reel guy. He's just Kevin Falkin Falk, and he is absolutely money. So there you go. I could not agree more, Henry. Andy in Vermont. John, well, I guess I was wrong back in Week 17, saying it was not a Super Bowl preview. I did not see the Giants doing what they have done, but after the Buccaneers game, I told everyone I know they had shown me some moxie I had never seen in them. Then beating Dallas, and Dallas really convinced me they had a shot to get to Arizona for a rematch, and I'll bet Bill B. thought he might see those Giants again. You know, I think that's an actually interesting point, Andy. I'm sure there are a few more than a few Patriots that are not surprised to see the Giants again, because I thought the Giants, I think everybody was impressed, as I was, as I've said several times here, everybody was impressed, as I was, that the Giants did play with everybody healthy. Came out with full barrels blazing. Played with all their guns, right? Came out, didn't rest anybody. They played to win the game, which I thought was not only a brave thing, a risky thing, but it was a gutsy thing. And it ended up paying off great dividends for them because it gave them impetus to think that, well, if we can play this way against the Patriots, we can sweep through the NFC. Look what they did. They swept through the NFC. They beat Tampa, they beat Dallas, they beat Green Bay. All three on the road. And now the Giants have an NFL record 10-game road winning streak like that in a single year. Nobody else has done that in a single season. It's remarkable. They've got their own little slice of immortality, the Giants do. So let's hope that that's as much as they get. Pratt says, John, sure feels good to be back to the Super Bowl level after the Pats had a two-season drop-off. I've marveled every week at what this team has accomplished and continues this tremendous winning streak. Yet with the journey still involves another great game from the Pats for 60 minutes, as I know they always emphasize. Now, as for what I expect I would improve or what aspect I would improve, I would have to say the Patriots secondary. I'm sure many people agree with me because in the postseason alone, David Garrard and Phillip Rivers have both had good passing games against this secondary. Both Asante and Ellis Hobbs have looked average, even though I liked Asante's effort on his interception over Chris Chambers on Sunday. I'd agree with that, Pratt. I would like to see them rise to the occasion on Super Bowl Sunday against playmakers like Bress and Toomer. Do you agree? Pratt, of course, in Germantown, Maryland. Yes, that would be my major nitpick. I would agree with that, Pratt. But I would also tell you that if you watch the game as I do, and those of you who are maybe a little bit more, okay, how can I say this without being offensive, learned in the game. I mean, you know, if you've played the sport, then you probably know a little bit more than others would. And I'm not denigrating anybody here. It's just this is the deal. This is why we try to give you some of the expertise here. The Patriots defensively were trying to stop the run. Okay, they did not want LT and or Michael Turner to beat them. Same thing the week prior to that. They did not want big running backs, physical running backs, strong offensive lines to control the tempo, to control the clock, control the game. So they were willing to give up some in the secondary to make sure that nobody busted anything in the ground game. So that's why over the last three games, as we go back now to the Giants game at the end of the regular season, that's why you've seen the Patriots' secondary look soft. This is what the Patriots have game planned for. They're willing to give 15, 17 yards at a whack as long as they make sure that nobody beats them on the ground. And that's really it. Now, could we have had a little bit better individual effort? Sure. A couple of plays, yeah, where I think the defensive backs did get beat, and you know, and that's, you know, you're playing with fire any way you look at it. But this is all designed. Okay, this is all designed. It was supposed to be this way, and I don't think I would be surprised if the Patriots were to play defense against the Giants largely the same way that we saw against them at the end of December. Now, that means the Giants are going to score. That means the Giants are going to have some gains. I'll tell you what worries me the most is Plexico Burress. I think that he has come into his own as one of the preeminent wide receivers. And I think everybody realized he's always had the talent. But I think now, I mean, he almost had a 200-yard reception game in below freezing, below zero weather against Green Bay. Think about that for a second. His physicality, his matchup, will create a tremendous mismatch no matter who he goes up against in the Patriots secondary. That's the one guy I think the Patriots, I mean, if you're talking about people game planning with the Patriots, they're going to take Randy Moss out. That's the one guy the Giants had that you think you might want to take out. Although overall, I think my least initial inclination is, and again, ask me again in a week, but I think the Patriots will probably do the same thing that they did back at the end of December. I think they will try to make sure that they take the running game away because you have, you know, Bradshaw as well as, you know, the big fella back there. And so I think they'll try to make a guy like Manning beat them, which means that, you know, it'll be up to Burris, I think, to perhaps do that. But, secondary is certainly something that I would like to see improve upon over the course of the next couple of weeks. And believe me, I can almost guarantee that is something that will definitely catch the Patriots' attention. All right, we'll continue with more of your emails. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Nitpick Tuesday here inside Patriots Playbook. If there is one aspect of this football team that if you could change it to better the team's chances of winning the Super Bowl, what would it be? I want to know your thoughts. We'll also get into some post-game audio as well. Christina Akron, Brian Lowe from Patriots Today, also upcoming inside the playbook.
A tremendous performance. The Patriots win the AFC Championship.
Your New England Patriots are AFC champions and are off to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. And you can join them when they play for their fourth Super Bowl championship just by shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com. That's right. Go to the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com for your AFC Championship gear, and you can win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. You can get the same AFC Championship hat and t-shirt the players were wearing on the field. Check out the huge collection of AFC Champion merchandise with items like sweatshirts, ladies' tees, keychains, and many Pro Shop exclusive items that you won't find anywhere else. Can't make it to Foxborough? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and gear up for the Super Bowl and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. And remember, just for shopping at PatriotsProShop.com, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything!
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
A tremendous performance. The Patriots win the AFC Championship.
Your New England Patriots are AFC champions and are off to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. And you can join them when they play for their fourth Super Bowl championship just by shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com. That's right. Go to the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com for your AFC Championship gear, and you can win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. You can get the same AFC Championship hat and t-shirt the players were wearing on the field. Check out the huge collection of AFC Champion merchandise with items like sweatshirts, ladies' tees, keychains, and many Pro Shop exclusive items that you won't find anywhere else. Can't make it to Foxborough? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and gear up for the Super Bowl and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. And remember, just for shopping at PatriotsProShop.com, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook for a Tuesday. I get an email just a moment ago from Ken, who is a frequent emailer. And he says here, Dr. Z on SI.com is already picking the Giants to upset the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I mean, we haven't even started. I mean, oh, Lord.
No respect.
None whatsoever.
No one respects the Patriots. No one thinks they can win.
Unbelievable.
I think that's the least of what you're going to hear.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
right.
It'll probably happen. We welcome you inside the playbook again for hour number two. Brian Lowe and Christina Acker from Patriots Today join us here in the studio. Guys, it's great to see you again. Everybody's all recovered and warm, I think, now, again, from Sunday's freeze fest here.
I had nothing to complain about. I mean, Christina and I were in the press box. We had decent accommodations. We didn't have to. Didn't take too long for us to warm up. But
how about Gary? Is Gary all warm and fuzzy and toasty from Sunday?
Now he's ignoring me. I think he's still. You know, his brain is still a little frozen.
Yeah.
So
he's just happy he could pass the flu on to me. I think.
happy. I'm happy he's on the other side
of
the glass.
Keep it over there. Yes,
I know.
Yeah,
but we do have to deal. We're gonna have to deal with John though, Christina.
No. I'm not. I'm not contagious anymore. I'm done. I'm just kind of. It sounds awful. But I'm definitely on the mend. You know, 48 hours ago, you know, you might as well
forget
just dig me a hole in the ground and I'll go crawl in it. That was pretty much how it was.
Were you in better shape than Tom Coughlin, though?
He looked awful after the game, didn't he?
If he didn't leave that stadium to get immediate medical attention.
Did he get frostbite on his face?
I think that I was in pain watching that game. Everybody looked
it hurt just to look. I agree with that. Oh, my God.
Oof.
Frostbite. I was waiting for that red stuff to turn black like you see on the mountain climbers and stuff that go for Everest. It's awful.
Why a trainer didn't just pull him aside and say, look, you're not going to make it through this game unless you wear this face mask or something.
Yeah.
Just do it. I mean, walking my car after the game, I felt like I was getting frostbite for 5 minutes, 7 minutes. And,
bad.
You know, and it was 30 degrees warmer here.
Bad. Well, you know, it did look like, though, he had a protective sheen of some coating of something on his face. So maybe that made it look worse than it was. But I know that's what a lot of times mountain climbers do use. They put some sort of a lubricant on their face to minimize the effects of frostbite. Yeah. But he definitely looked frostbitten. But you know what? He wasn't feeling any pain anyway. His team won the game. I mean, you know, why would he feel pain? There's no way.
I'm sure it's probably the last thing they're thinking of at that point in time, too.
But if they lost?
If they
he'd
lost,
be feeling some pain.
He'd be feeling some serious
he'd
pain.
He'd be feeling it then.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
No.
I think before we move onward here with, you know, some other emails and such, that we should also reiterate what you guys are going to be doing next week. on here on Patriots.com, because I think it's really cool that all the different aspects of programming are all going to come together. And I made already a couple of mentions in the opening hour of the program today that we had over 2 million hits on the website last month alone, which is I thought was really neat. And people will be reading about that in their PFWs this week. But fact is that the attention that has been given to the website is unprecedented. So you guys are going to follow up with unprecedented coverage, which is really cool. It's called answering the bell. It's called doing your job, right? Sunday prior to game day, which, of course, is next Sunday, you guys will start with on-the-scene video podcasts throughout the day leading up to, of course, the Super Bowl called Patriots Now. So who came up with the idea of Patriots Now? And maybe you can give us a little bit of a glimpse as to what specifically will be in each separate podcast.
We're a team. We came up with that collectively, didn't we?
Liar.
That's the short answer for I really don't know who actually came up with that.
We'll
take team
credit.
Okay. No, you know, I think the goal is, you know, to sort of, you know, be there every step of the way wherever the Patriots are and almost immediate access. You know, the Patriots Now hits will be sort of, not live hits, but, you
it's
know,
following every step.
We'll be everywhere, wherever the team is, wherever the events are during that whole week.
For instance, let me give you a for instance. During, you know, interview day, which is just, you know, a huge three-ring circus. Everybody knows if you've ever seen it or if you've ever been to it, the Super Bowl, this is a huge part of the week leading up
to
the game.
You're talking about
itself.
Tuesday media day.
Media day at the bowl. Yeah. When people ask you, if you were a tree, what kind of a tree would you be?
It's funny because as I was explaining, you know, I've been to a couple of Super Bowls.
We'll
I'm a vet,
there.
So I'm the expert here. No, I'm really not. But in explaining, like, to Christine and a few other people, I was like, literally, clowns come to cover this day. I mean, I'm not that you know, we make fun of different events. Right? Literally, like the Nickelodeon clown. I forget what that guy's called. It basically.
I remember one year because my son used to watch this all the time. What was his name? Oh, Pig Boy.
Yes, that's one. That's,
from Nickelodeon.
That's Pig Boy.
Okay.
Pig Boy, right?
Pig Boy,
yeah.
Was.
But I think we're going to actually be, you know.
No, that's Pick, not Pig.
Yeah. But like you mentioned, I mean, it's kind of a circus. It's a day where the.
Pick a winner.
There you go. Pick a winner.
All the players are actually wearing their actual uniform, and it's just kind of a free-for-all. But we're going to even have some behind-the-scenes of that day, you know, see the Patriots get ready for that. And you know, each day, I mean, there's media access to the players every day, and we're going to be covering all that. But we're also going to be able to bring a lot of exclusive behind the scenes, you know, as the Patriots are not just the Patriots, but also the Giants and also the overall event, the Super Bowl event. There's things going on all week there, you know, NFL experience. Even the Patriots, you know, they have a welcome party.
So my guess is that you might virtually be able to take people to the Super Bowl, even though they can't go. That's the whole idea,
right? That's exactly the idea, to make fans everywhere, you know, feel like they are right there every step of the way with the team, you know, whether it's they're getting ready in the locker room or outside, they're coming out in a little bit, and here's what they're going to do. Just give them a step-by-step chance to see everything that goes on, because it is a week-long event, basically, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, this also includes some of the social activities?
I sure hope so. No. That's not why we're there.
A little bit of that.
Social activities?
But we're going to, you know, as soon as the team comes in on Sunday, I mean, we're going to be there on the ground, you know, as they come in, as the team buses roll in. Actually, when the team buses roll in, a few players and Coach Belichick immediately roll into an auditorium for a press conference. So, you know, we'll be there every step of the way. It's going to be, you know, a new and unique experience for us, too, as it is for a lot of the players and, you know, some people who have been there in the past. You know, we're just kind of expanding what we've done in the past too, and the website as a whole. I mean, you know, our show and Patriots Now, and you know, we're going to have daily shows as well.
So you're going to have your regular Patriots Today show, right?
Yeah.
So that's a
daily
event, right? At the end of the day,
exactly.
But the Patriots Now will be things that happen as they happen
over the course of
throughout the day. Yes, right. Whenever there's something going on, we'll do our
that's
best
very
to
cool.
get it to you as soon as possible, shortly after it takes place.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. And hey, Patriots.com, it's a place to be.
Well, obviously 2 million people think so.
That's right. You know, that's right. We're trying
at least 2 million.
Wow.
Yeah. We're trying
that's
to
million.
Get
that's extraordinary, I think, for you know, a website. That, I mean, that's, you know, right up there with ESPN almost.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty extraordinary. All right, so that's all gonna start next Sunday. When do you guys actually leave?
We're heading down there Saturday. We're going to be there on the ground, ready to go when when those other slackers,
stuff, right.
Belichick, Brady, the rest of that crew,
they're coming in on Sunday.
They're coming in.
You guys are going to beat them there by day.
We're going to beat them there. Right. It's all about who gets there first
and who leaves there last.
And,
right?
And I think we're going to be leaving there last too.
That's kind of what I thought. Yeah.
I hope this cold front comes back. Middle of next week.
Oh, well, we'll be
so
in Arizona.
So you'll be in Arizona?
Yeah, in Arizona.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, and while you're in Arizona, I'll be in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, a little Notre Dame action?
Yeah, a little Notre Dame action next time.
How about
that?
How about that?
I know, hey.
They don't play on the third, do
Somebody's
got
to do it. No.
Okay, good.
No, I'm actually, I found myself available for that day.
Oh, so. good. And if you weren't originally available, you'd make yourself available.
Absolutely. Well, it's the Super Bowl. Even if it weren't the Patriots, I'd find myself available for that one.
Right, sure.
Let's kind of look back a little bit then at the game on Sunday because – obviously, I mean, it was a championship game. It sounds a little strange to say it was the AFC championship and you're going to the Super Bowl and yet treat the game almost as an afterthought because, in effect, it is an afterthought. And I think it's an afterthought for a couple of reasons. Number one, in the overall pantheon of what 18 and hopefully 19-0 will end up being. I mean, I open up the program today by saying that what the Patriots are getting ready to do, we've talked about since week three, I think, Brian, overall this season, and people saying, oh, no, there's no way they could ever do that. Stop that. Get that out of your mind. And yet now it is. It's here. And so when you actually try to put some sort of context in that, we're going through something now that will probably never happen again in our lifetime.
Well, no one thought it would happen once. No one thought it would ever happen once. And
I remember this. I made this point. I remember the 72 Dolphins because I was a teenager, during that. And I remember watching it because I'm like, wow, they're going undefeated.
Undefeated.
You know, and that was the only reason I watched. I wasn't a Dolphins fan. I loved the Cowboys back then. I hated the Dolphins. But I'm thinking, oh, they could go undefeated. I'm watching. And so that's why I think I've seen a couple of people say, oh, it's Patriots, it's Giants, it's a regional Super Bowl, no one will watch. I'm like, what planet are you living on? This will be an all-time numbers game, and if it's not, I'll be shocked because of the fact that the Patriots have a chance to do something that has never been done in professional or any kind of sport. You don't see undefeated seasons. You don't see them in the college ranks, not even anymore in college football. Christina, you came from the SEC. You came from Florida. How tough is it to go 12-0?
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it.
The SEC especially. I mean,
you
that's a tough.
You
yeah.
can't do it.
With all the talent out there, it's very hard.
And so now you're talking about what the Patriots have done. They've gone through 16-0. That's amazing. And now that they have a chance to win three football games and get a Super Bowl, I just don't. I mean, I don't know how it ever happens again.
And when you talk about, is this a regional game in New England, New York? Not in the least. I mean, when you look at some of the ratings they've had during the season,
regular
Patriots
season games,
Patriots, Colts, Patriots, Dallas. I mean, those were
Patriots games. Patriots have a chance ratings because of that very fact. Because people are interested in the Patriots, they either love them or they hate them. And I'd be certainly willing to wager that there are more haters than lovers out there right now. But that's okay because the interest is there, number one. And number two, the casual fan is going to be pulled in, I would argue, because of the whole undefeated thing right now. Don't you think?
Anybody who's a fan of the sport, you would hope, would just watch it just because of the simple fact that it's history being made.
If you're a fan of sports, I mean, if you're a fan of sports, you want to see if this can be done. And if you're a fan of sports, but you really are bothered by the Patriots and what they've done, you want to see if this Giants team can knock them off. And, I even think if the Patriots, finished the regular season 15-1 and got to this point, there are still some pretty compelling elements of this game on either side. You've got Eli Manning. Can he match what his brother did last year but do it 5 years quicker? Belichick against the Giants. Junior Seau going 19 seasons or 18 seasons and now having a chance. Tom Brady, if he gets his fourth Super Bowl ring, does that vault him immediately without question to the top of the list of all-time great quarterbacks? There's a lot of compelling storylines, but this undefeated thing, it's too hard to do. Things have to work out too perfectly that if you have an opportunity to see this really happen, you've got to take advantage, and it's one of those, I remember where I was.
Absolutely.
When the Patriots finished off an undefeated season. It's one of those. It's going to come down to one of those.
So what
Or I was there when the Patriots
absolutely
came the closer than anyone ever did.
And because,
to go 19-0.
And because of that factor, guys, that's why I think the AFC Championship in and of itself, the game, is an afterthought. I mean, it was a mediocre performance.
It was a nuisance. It was like, we got to get through this next one.
Yeah. I had that feeling probably from about halftime on.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I also thought that, you know, even though San Diego, when they kicked that field goal to make it 14-9, I'm thinking, you know what? Red zone defense seemed to be pretty good today. So I think there's a shot here that they've got a chance to be pretty good. And I'd be surprised, I think, based on what I'd seen the first couple of quarters, if San Diego got on the end zone. Now, it's not impossible, but just the way things are going, it looked like they were loaded for bear, so to speak. And we knew from the first pass of the day that Brady was not having it. He wasn't able to. Remember, it came to the sideline and sailed over his head. So I'm thinking, oh, geez, that's uncharacteristic. And so, you know, you have games like that.
I felt like when the Patriots, they the only time they didn't have the lead was 3-0. I felt that during that stretch late in the second quarter, start of the third, where they, you know, Brady had a couple of picks, where they still never lost the lead, I was like, all right, they're not playing well. They're probably better. There's a better chance that they're going to make adjustments in this game than San Diego, and yet they still have the lead. Right. They never lost the lead.
Right.
You know, even when it was 14-6 at halftime, was that what it was? Or 14-9 at halftime, and the Patriots got the ball, I was like, all right, they're going to score here, make it 21-9. This will be their drive, and then they'll close it out. Brady throws a pick, and the Chargers still only get a field goal, 14-12. I'm like, the Patriots aren't doing much well, and yet they still have the lead. They're not going to relinquish the lead at home everything on the line. Now, I never got the sense that that this was a game that they were going to lose. I mean, they have a way of not playing their best game, but still maintaining a lead and ultimately winning the game.
Speaking of afterthought, with this just this one game, you talk to the players, they look at the whole regular season as an afterthought. You know,
yeah.
I asked, you know, you think this is a 17-0 deal? 18-0? No, you know, that's not the case at all.
They've never looked at it like that, and that's to their credit. But now they have to kind of look at it like that because this, you know, winning this game, the 19-0 is a byproduct of winning this game. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of looking at it from that respect.
And
now
it's similar to when they, after they beat Miami and went 15-0, they could finally, and even I know Teddy Bruschi for one talked about this, they could finally almost get it off their chest and off their shoulders. They could finally actually use the phrase 16-0. Because that was their next win.
Right.
Their goal was to win the next game, and they acknowledged that would give them 16-0. Well, now that their next game is the one that could make them 19-0, it's almost like a burden off their shoulders. They can finally actually use that phrase, you know, Super Bowl. They can say the word Super Bowl, the phrase Super Bowl. They can say the phrase 19-0. They could, even if they wanted to, say undefeated, because their goal now is to go 1-0 next week, but that 1-0 gives it to them. That's 19-0. So it's a weight off their shoulders.
If I mentioned to you guys that the Patriots now have 6 AFC championships, which is tied for second most in the NFL, Cowboys have 8 NFC championships, but they have 6 conference championships right now. What does that mean? What should it mean?
Well, you know,
and 5 of them, by the way, in the Kraft era.
That's what I was going to say. If you take it if you don't know the history of the organization and you aren't aware of even fully aware of this current era, then you say, wow, this is like one of the, you know, long-time traditional model NFL franchises. That's what you would first think. But, you know, obviously it's dominated by the Kraft era. We know what the depths that this team was at, 15, 20, 25 years ago, in and around that, you know, around that 86 Super Bowl season. But it's remarkable that 5 of those have come in the Kraft era, which is also the salary cap era. And all you hear about around the NFL is parity, you know, yeah, you might go 14-2 one year, but you better believe it. You're probably going to go 2-14 next year because of all the salaries that you're going to have to deal with and all that. To do it in this era, I think if you ask a lot of NFL observers, that's what's most remarkable, is that they've been able to consistently field a team that is not just division title worthy or even AFC championship worthy, but Super Bowl champs consistently. So, you know, to put it in perspective, you have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge that. Whereas, you know, some of these other, you know, they have 6 tied with,
tied with Pittsburgh and with Denver.
And Pittsburgh's are a little more spread out. Denver, they must have had a couple in that same period of time, the 90s, but
90s,
a little more spread out. Whereas the Patriots, you know, it's 5 in, 11 years, right? That's quite a, you know, quite an era there.
Yeah. There's no doubt that it kind of sets the Patriots apart, and I think that's the biggest thing. But that's going to get, you know, lost in the shuffle of, you know, getting to the Super Bowl and winning a 4th in 7 years, if, of course, they're able to do that.
Yeah.
But to me, when you also take into consideration all sports, because I think if the Patriots are able to win Super Bowl 42, then I think you have to consider this season and this team one of the greatest of all time in any sport. based on the universe in which they have to compete now, and they're able to do it in the form and in the manner in which they did it. Now, I say that because they have five league championship berths since 1994. It's the second highest total in major American sports.
Yeah.
In this course, over this course of time, which, you know, obviously when you throw the other sports in there, you're thinking, whoa, that's pretty good. But then they can still go a step further by winning this game on February 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you think of Yankees, you're like, the Yankees must have had seven or eight in this period. No, not so much. You think, you know, what about the Lakers or Celtics in their eras? And
only the Yankees with six World Series trips since that time have made more championship appearances than the Patriots.
Yeah. And
figures it has to be a team from New York.
It figures.
Which, of course, one of the reasons why I'm glad that it's a New York-New England thing. I said this last week. Everybody was pointing to the Packers. You know, oh, it's going to be a game against the Packers. The Packers are going to win. I'm like, I'm rooting for the Giants. Yeah. I want the New York-New England thing because I know it works.
Right, and to follow on the heels of yesterday's Celtics-Knicks game, this is the next in the line of these great Boston New York battles. I think it's really
next in a great line of Boston whoop ups on the
the BC St. John's. Do they play each other anytime soon? There must be
no.
They're not in the same conference anymore, huh?
No,
when you talk about undefeated, also you can obviously forget about any other sport. You know, you can't even, except for college football, pretty much. I mean, or college basketball, I suppose. You can't really go undefeated, so you put that in a category all of itself. Going undefeated, but it's hard. You know, it's tough to put it in perspective as we're going through it and think about cross sport comparisons. You how do you compare the 2007 Patriots with the 1986 Celtics or the 1927 Yankees and all that?
Right.
How do you do that? I mean, it's hard to compare different eras and different sports and all that. But if they close this one out, this will be and then when you add in the records that they set, whether they be individual or team or franchise records, it's not like they went undefeated in an ugly style and it was 9-7 games and all this. I mean, they're setting records by the handful. I mean, every week it's, you know, this franchise record, this individual record. It's, and some significant records. It's, you know, I mean, the Patriots media guy, you know, the postseason media guy that you have over there has... It's thicker than normal. And that's probably because there's a full section just on 2007 team and league records that they set. So to do all that at once, I mean, this will be, if they close this out, the greatest team in sports history.
I find it very difficult to argue with that premise, which is why I brought it up, because it kind of all adds to that, and it just sounds weird. It sounds bizarre to be able to say that, you know, we're experiencing that. It's almost like we're going through it, and we don't even really know that we're going through this, but that this is something that we may not be able to fully appreciate until 5, 10, 20 years from now. By the way, Christina, her first year to host this program, right, and to come to work for this franchise, and she starts off, you know, with a team that has a chance to go 19-0, you realize, of course, that next year everything pales by comparison, right?
You know, I really have nothing to compare this to, so I don't know anything.
You were part of national championships in Florida, right?
Yeah, it's true, but, you know, it was funny. As we went through the regular season, it was like, okay, another win. This is great. Let's talk about it. Let's do this. Let's have a show on it. And it came to the point where it was like, oh my God, what if it's the other way around?
Right.
What do we say? What do I do? You know, kind of like an unknown feeling. And to this day, that's how it's been. It's been the same thing every week, which is, like you said, it's going to be something that you look back on and see more of what it really means and what really happened and took place.
Here's something for you to consider. Has it gotten easier or has it gotten tougher? Because for you to do your job, to do what you do every day, and for those that haven't seen it, shame on you, okay? Download the podcast. Where's John Hanna? Go get where's Hog? Where is he?
You give a little plug.
Hold on.
I had to answer the phone. Hold on.
Oh, okay. He's coming.
The phone.
Yeah, I know. Phone.
John Hanna.
John
phone.
Hanna.
John Hanna. The phone.
Talking about the podcast.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
See,
that was fantastic.
When he tells you to do it, you have to do it.
You
got to
do it
now.
He's got several cameos throughout the season he's been on.
But has your job gotten easier or tougher as the winning has progressed?
That's a really good question. I guess.
Thank you. I'm a paid professional.
It's made it fun and exciting, which has been an easy thing, you know, to always have something good and positive to talk about.
Right.
So I guess it would have been a lot harder if they did lose a game here.
No, hot is okay. Hot. You can get away with that up here. That's possible.
It slipped. I'm sorry. it's wearing on. But no, I think it's kind of made it an easy job. And especially with the records like you talked about, that's added to it. So it wasn't just this team winning. It was looking at the individual players that have done a lot this season. So it's been fun to follow.
Yeah. You know, it when you try to keep things in a positive vein, which obviously we all do because negative sucks. I think we all realize negative sucks, and you just kind of want to go away from it as best you can. But in the interest of trying to balance reporting and what you need to talk about, what's news and what, you know, I guess is, for lack of a better phrase, public relations. Mm-hmm. There's a difference here. And so you guys and we are here and everything else, we're all kind of in the same role. So every day you find that, okay, this is the journalist in me, this is the PR person in me. How do we make these two worlds combine to where we're doing our audience, those who are listening, those who are taking the time to download the podcast or watch us or everything, how do we best serve the audience? And I think, to me, I've always said, well, be that person. Mm-hmm. Be the person who is going to take the time to listen to this program or to watch your program and ask yourself, okay, what do I want to know?
Great point. Yeah.
And if you ask yourself, what do I want to know, and you can answer it honestly, that's what you got to go out and do, right?
Yep, definitely. Yeah. The information that they want to hear and stick to the facts too. I think that's a big thing that we've tried to do this season is, you know, put the facts out there and let people decide for themselves.
Yeah,
for
make up your own mind. I mean, we've all got opinions, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's fine. Whether they're right or they're wrong, it doesn't make any difference. That's why we have opinions.
And I've been talking recently about like the guys who started, the players who started in 2003, like the 2003 draft class. All they know is going deep in the postseason. Like the standards have been set. I mean, the class of 2003, their first 2 years were Super Bowl victories. Then utter disappointment. You're out in the second round of the playoffs. It's like, what do we do now? We only won one playoff game? Yeah. It's like the standards have been set. And so what I'm saying is you get to this point where the standards are so high, the team is doing so well that there's a lot of positives to talk about. You don't have to search for positives. You don't have to. It's harder to find the negatives. There always will be. There's no perfect games out there. But it's easier to talk about a team that's doing well because even when you do talk about the negatives, it's always like, but look, you know, we're nitpicking here. That's a negative. But you know what? Let's face it. Let's be honest here. We, you know, this team could be, you know, the Dolphins of this year or the Rams or whatever, where it's like, whew. There's got to be something positive from this game. I mean, there must be something positive we can talk about. It's just there for you, all these positives. And so it allows you, when you do find a negative, to talk about it, but you don't have to worry about, man, we're really trashing this team by, right. by you know. But all we know, all I know, I started doing this also in 2003, all I know is the standards being deep into the postseason and makes it easier. Makes it easier to be a fan. Makes it easier to cover the team. Obviously, it's easier to be a player on the team.
Well, when I first came here in 1988, I suffered through a 1-15 year with Rod Rust as a head coach.
Yeah.
And so I've been covering this team for, you know, right at 20 years, at least up close. And certainly remember years before that, before I had moved to the Northeast, what the Patriots were or were not. And they were a sad sack around the NFL, with the exception of, you know, the 1985 year. So to that extent, having seen and lived through and covered this team when they were here and now to look up there and see where they are now, it's a remarkable transformation, one that I'm not sure they were ever capable of reaching, but they did, which is why not a day goes by that I don't shake my head and kind of snicker to myself. I'm like going, look at this. You know, just look at this, and I'm trying to enjoy it as a fan as best as I can.
And it makes you appreciate knowing, you know, having been around or followed or covered the team back in those days, it's got to make you appreciate. I mean, I was a young fan at that time, but I remember them being virtually irrelevant.
We
both were. Well, you were, yeah, I'm slightly, you were around, alive. Right, in 88,
sure,
yeah.
I was alive in 88, yes.
And I was, you know, just coming into my own as a young sports fan. And you don't really, I don't remember living and breathing and dying with them day by day by day. But I remember them being almost irrelevant, and which is almost worse than being just bad. And to see where they are now, which is
right.
you know the model franchise and the model team in the NFL is really.
I think that's amazing.
But you need to have the perspective of those 1 in 15 years to really appreciate it. I think
absolutely, and hopefully I know, and we've had shared emails and thoughts with a lot of people who have that kind of depth of history to their following this football team and this franchise. Who we've heard from in this program and the PFW guys have as well, and that's I love getting those emails. People who have been around for 20, 30, and even 40 years plus, because they can really provide true perspective, I think, on where this team has gone. You brought up a great word, one of my favorite words on Tuesdays, nitpick.
Oh, yeah.
It
is Nitpick Tuesday.
I realize that, you know, nitpicking on a team that's 18-0 is a little stupid, but we may still, hey, right?
Hey,
we're paid to be stupid.
Listen,
so that's why we do this.
Cover all aspects.
I asked my nitpick question of the day today via email was, if you could change one aspect of this football team to help ensure a win in Super Bowl 42, what would it be? And so I'll give you a couple of emails here. We'll go through some of these emails, and then I want each of you to come up with one for me, a nitpick. I know it may be hard. It's kind of hard to nitpick on perfection. I realize what I'm asking here. It's difficult to do, but you can come up with something. John sends this email. Where is he? Oh, he's from New Hampshire. Okay, he says, one, he's got three nitpicks. Jeez, this guy's nuts. just kidding, John. just
keep
kidding.
Him coming.
I'm winking. I would change the cornerback. Ellis Hobbs, although he came up with a pick, is still much shorter than both Toomer and Burris. They will undoubtedly throw at him and throw over his head. Number two, kick or punt returner. We need a Jones-Drew type returner. We don't always get the field position we need. Seeing Maroney back there this week indicates to me that the Pats think we need one too. That's actually a good point. I hadn't thought of that one. Number three, kicking and punting. Now, hold on. Don't get me wrong. I think they do an outstanding job, but how about putting a little hang time on the ball? Give our special teams guys a chance to get downfield. Gostkowski drills the ball for great distances but doesn't hang, or our opponents seem to have decent run backs far too often. Let's see. Oh, I won't repeat this. This is just for me.
He says,
by the way, John, you've been great this year. He says, I'm sorry to know that I will be subjected to the bleeps of PFW and their mouthful of food show for the next couple of weeks.
If you've lived through it for the last 5 months, what's another 2 weeks? Huh?
He says, Pats 41, Giants 28, by the way. Let's take those because those are actually pretty good. The Ellis Hobbs one.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with, but I made the point earlier in the program that the reason that we've seen the pass defense, I think, play the way it has is because it's by design. Okay, they're very concerned against the Giants' run at the end of December, very concerned against the run game that the Jaguars had a couple of weeks ago, and certainly concerned about LT and or Michael Turner this last week. And so what they've done is they've had to gear up defensively to make sure that they didn't get beat with those teams' strong suits. That's the one thing you want to do. You got to take something away. This is what the Patriots chose to take away, which is why I thought we saw a lot of the softer coverage in the secondary. So I agree about Ellis Hobbs individually as a matchup, because what I saw of Burris, oh, my God. The guy was – he put a cape on him. He was very Randy Moss-like, if I could use that term, because he had almost 200 yards and should have had, I thought, 200 yards worth of receptions in sub-zero temperatures. Now that, my friends, is a superhuman feat.
And he had a really productive game against the Patriots.
He did.
As well.
He had a good game.
And a lot of it was up against Ellis Hobbs, and a lot of that spurned some of this Ellis Hobbs over this last month. He's been fairly defensive about the criticism he's gotten about some of the holes in coverage that have been seen mostly by the wide receivers that he's been covering. And as you were talking about this, this topic, nitpick Tuesday. I was trying to remember what day it was.
Nitpick Tuesday.
What I was starting to think of was Hobbs, but more not just. I don't want to just put it on Hobbs because you don't know exactly what the coverages are and everything, so you don't want to put it just on Hobbs. But I did find as I'm watching this game, and granted it was a bend but don't break defensive game where they gave up the yardage over the middle of the field but not the touchdowns. That it was starting to bother me that the cushion that they were giving Chambers and Vincent Jackson, who I'll tell you, if that is not the number one emerging wide receiver tandem as this season went on,
Chambers
what
has always given the Patriots trouble.
Right.
He was in Miami, but
the Chargers, remember last year the game against the Chargers in the postseason? I mean,
yeah.
Eric Parker was their guy who he was. They were putting the ball in his hands so many times. He was fumbling. He had an awful game. They had no production from their wide receivers. Their wide receiver production was Gates and Tomlinson. Neither one's a wide receiver. So the fact that this Chargers team now had this dynamic duo that really has been coming on strong through the playoffs.
I think they're set up pretty well. Chargers are set up pretty well.
Yeah, but not that we're talking about an 08 Chargers preview here, but as far as going into this game, I was like, you know, that's an area that we're kind of overlooking is this Chambers and Jackson duo who in tandem can get it done. And, you know, they had to have about three quarters of the Chargers' overall offense that day. They had to combine for, you know, roughly that. But a lot of it was they were getting open, and the Patriots were allowing them to get – that was their trade-off, allowing them to get open, soft over the middle a little bit. And I don't mean allowing them to get open as in, just come get the ball. But there were a lot of holes in the passing game that they were taking advantage of. The Patriots were just doing maybe a better job of tackling this game or not letting them get into the red zone. So I think as we go up against this Giants team with, we see them go up against Burris and Toomer, I'd like to, trust the – you know, in the coverage a little more, bump them at the line, don't give them the cushion. I think that's one area where, you know, they might,
It'd also surprise if they changed packages up and decided to give him a little extra attention at times. And I think they'll do whatever they can to confuse Eli.
Yeah.
I really think that they're going to – I think we'll see a lot of similarities that we did the end of December. I think you'll see them try to, stack up on Jacobs and Bradshaw in the backfield to make sure that those guys don't beat them. But I think that they will dare Eli to try to beat them again with his arm.
And
I do think when it comes down to it, that's what they'll choose.
And Belichick – one thing that's interesting, Belichick was talking yesterday about he was asked, well, is it going to be easier to, as you prepare for this game, the fact that you just played the Giants a couple weeks ago? And he said, absolutely, yeah, it's going to be easier to prepare.
It's just like a divisional game.
Right. Well, it's going to be easier to prepare. It doesn't give them an advantage because the Giants are in the exact same boat. But the one thing is, probably the best three-game period of Eli Manning's career has been this three-game period since they last faced them. So and I haven't been watching and analyzing all three Giants games through this postseason, but I feel like they have to almost—it's almost like they might have to start from scratch with Manning, because what has he been doing? I mean, he hasn't thrown an interception.
Well, he had a good game against them, so I
don't know. You're right, and including that game, and yeah. I don't know how much they, you know, after that game ended, how much they poured over the film of that game necessarily, but you're right. If you do include that game,
the Patriots game,
right? So if we take those four. But especially these last three because he's thrown no interceptions and won them all on the road. I mean, that's three mistake-free road wins against maybe the three best teams in the conference, and you had the Patriots. It's almost like what they saw in film for the first 3 years and 15 games of his career, this last four-game package might be a completely different set of skill set and demeanor maybe, which I think is going to be an interesting one for them to be looking at.
As far as the kick returner, honestly, that's actually another fairly decent, little, nitpick.
Maybe Christina's boy Chad Jackson her Gator buddy can show a little more of a spark.
Yeah.
No, we did.
Although he was inactive this last week.
We
need a consistent threat back there. I mean, Hobbs hasn't been back there because of, injuries and such. And, they don't want to use Maroney back there because, quite frankly, they need Maroney in other places. I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more of Wes Welker.
Mm.
As a kickoff returner, as opposed to a punt returner, where we've seen him,
I think he could be used in both. I mean, I think they could use him. It might be the same reasons why they don't want to use Maroney or
maybe.
Hobbs.
Yeah.
I think if Hobbs is fully healthy, 2 weeks from now,
or Troy Brown for that matter. I know Troy was inactive this last week too. But I mean,
yeah.
To me, I mean, obviously we're only able to go with what we have on the roster. But I think that could also be a need that they might look to find somebody who could be explosive like that.
What was that report that Bethel Johnson was in the house a couple weeks ago? Maybe it's for Super Bowl Sunday. No, I'm kidding. I'm certainly kidding about that. I really do think of Ellis Hobbs.
The only way he's back in the house is if he's selling hot dogs.
Right. Which I heard some rumors about. Yeah, I think he might be. I think actually, if you did have the flu and couldn't make it, I think he was going to
step in.
Yeah,
nice.
I think if Hobbs is healthy next Sunday, I think Hobbs is going to be your main kickoff returner. He's not fifth in the league in kickoff returns by accident.
He had a 108 yarder this year, for God's sake.
No,
if somebody is capable of that, how do you not, if he's healthy?
Right.
How do you not put him back there?
I think we'll see him back. I think against Jacksonville, it was injury related. I think this past week, it was maybe a a combination of maybe he's, you know, just it's been a couple weeks now. We have some other options. Let's not overuse him in the kickoff return game. Ideally, you don't have a lot of kickoff returns in the first place, and we sure as heck know in the middle of the season there,
right,
they were going a fairly lengthy period of time without, you know, the opposing team scoring touchdowns and have to worry about kickoff returns. But I think it'll be Hobbs.
You guys have a nitpick yet? Anything other than we haven't discussed?
I know, you know, I mean, Christine has really been bashing Tom Brady all season. And I think she feels that if Matt Cassel is the quarterback, that'll be an upgrade against the Giants.
You know, honestly,
you've been saying that.
I want to see more touchdowns. That's my nitpick. That's just score.
You want more touchdowns.
Yeah, because that leads to the dancing in the end zone, which is always a good thing. So, no, just kidding.
Well, you know, how about Kelly Washington's dance the other day?
Saw a little bit of it.
Kelly Washington's dance, and he was talking after the
game.
By
the way, that may have been one of the best special teams plays in downing a kick that I have ever seen.
Great play. Deserving of a dance.
That was deserving. Now, if any play is deserving of a dance on the field, that one was worth it.
And you know, he even said after the game, I know I was just in hearing, I didn't talk to him, but I heard hearing some of what he said. You know, he's handled this not being a wide receiver much this year pretty well, and he's been a great
special
teamer.
As well as anybody could handle it.
Absolutely, and he's been sensational in special teams, and when he was asked about the dance a little bit, he was like, hey, you know what? That was kind of my touchdown. I mean, that was, you know, I'm probably not going to have a touchdown. That was my touchdown, basically. But you know, acknowledging also that it was not, it was also a great punt, and it took other guys to down the ball and all that. It wasn't like he was.
He just put the ball in play. He still had to cover it, right?
It wasn't like he was taking full credit for the play, but he was like, you know what? He was physically in the end zone at the time, so it was place.
Getting jiggy with it.
Yeah.
Right?
So, you know, and I remember as the season was going down.
We're fading fast here, Gary.
Down those last couple weeks of the season when the Patriots were.
Yeah, exactly.
When the Patriots were trying to set that record for most different players scoring a touchdown. I think a lot of people were rooting for Kelly Washington so we could see a dance.
We were waiting for it, yeah.
Waiting for that.
We got a little glimpse.
Got a little touch of a dance.
Still got one more game. We'll see.
Yeah.
Any time that we can get jiggy with it is a good time.
Sure thing.
Right? Yeah, there we go. Maybe
if there's a parade this year, if things go well next week, then we can take the lead.
Thank you very much. Scott, our friend in Washington, D.C., says, all right, John, two things. Starting with a nitpick, Patriots defense did not give up 35 points to the Giants. They gave up 28. The other seven came on a kick return for a touchdown, and that kick return was set up by the awful penalty on Moss and Maroney for the end zone celebration that wasn't. So it was a weird set of circumstances. That's a good point. Anyway, it's truly a nitpick and a small one because I certainly don't want our defense giving up 28 points to anybody, least of all the Super Bowl opponent. But I just want to be fair and make clear that it was 28, not 35, that our defense was responsible for. Good point. That's a legitimate point. I would also say, and I mentioned this to PFW guys a couple of hours ago, but I said, you know, the only thing that I'm really concerned about, it has to be really from a Giants perspective. As a Giants fan, I'm concerned that my team gacked up a 10-point double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, you know? I mean, and you gacked it up at home like that? So what's going to happen on a neutral site, you know, Super Bowl, where the game is going to be going 80 million miles an hour? That first quarter is just going to whoosh. It's going to be by them before they even know it.
Right.
And the Patriots have been there when the Giants haven't been there.
Right.
So the Giants are going to do everything they can possibly to just kind of hold on for dear life, you know, and go along for the ride and hope and pray to God that they can hang into the game for a little while. That's why the Patriots really have everything going and then some on their side going into the game because of that fact alone. And the experience and the fact that, you know, talent-wise, roster-wise, up and down the roster, the Patriots have it over everybody else in the NFL. They've already shown that they have it over the Giants this year. They went on the road and proved that they have it over the Giants this year already.
Yep.
It just kind of stacks the deck a little bit more. So I'm thinking, you know, why are we X and O in this game? There's really no reason to do that because we don't really X and O the second time that we talk about the Bills or the Jets or the Dolphins because we've already played them. We already know what they're capable of. And if the rosters are the same, which they are, because the Giants played everybody against us, right? They went full max. They tried to kick our ass, and they couldn't do it. They played a great game, and applaud them for playing a great game, but they did not win the game. So what is there to talk about?
No, and they've been better on the road So the whole thing about them, you know, losing the 10-point lead at home, it might be that they're just – they're better when they're not dealing with their own fans.
Yeah, we're going to be better because we're playing on the road. Okay.
What I'm saying is now they have these last three games on the road in these hostile environments where they have come through and they haven't on – this is going to be like a road game. I mean, they're – I don't know as far as, you know, the split of the fans, 50-50, 60-40, whatever, but you wonder if the magnitude – of the event, even though a lot of the Giants players are going to be first-time Super Bowl participants, maybe the magnitude of the event won't be wearing on them as much as it might another first-time Super Bowl participant because of these last 3 weeks that they've been on the road. They've dealt with crowds. They've dealt with hostile environments, not their own surroundings. Maybe there's something to that with this particular team.
So you're saying the fact that it's a Super Bowl, it's going to work in their favor because they've had a good success rate so far on the road.
Maybe for whatever reason, the makeup of that team, when they're not in their own surroundings, maybe they're a little more lax when they're in their own surroundings, subconsciously. I don't know. Maybe when they are on the road, when they are in these different environments, maybe they thrive on that. But that being said, losing a 10-point lead in a key game at home is not something you want to have.
No, I don't think that's something that I would be too anxious to remember, you know? You know, if you're looking at it from a Giants perspective, that's something that they obviously need to be concerned about.
Yeah.
You know, because the Patriots were able to do that to them in what we thought was a hostile environment. Now you're asking the Patriots to go into an environment which they're going to be all too familiar with.
Yeah.
And you're telling me they're not going to be capable of at least that?
And no, that's at stake. I mean, yeah. Regardless of you want to look at the whole season or not, I mean, what's at stake here is the ultimate, you know. So
this is what guys play for. I mean, you know, it's great to have the money. We hear guys talk about this every season. Almost every week we hear about it, I'm sure, in the locker room. But, you know, the money is obviously it's what they do. It's what they do for a living. But guys play for the bling. They play for the ring. They play for the championship. They play for a chance to be considered immortal, if not for just a year. Of course, this is the ultimate championship.
Right.
You're going to talk about a championship now, a Super Bowl, that people will remember forever because of the 19-0 that is attached to this particular circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. I mean, if I'm in that locker room, if I'm playing, I mean, you know, there's nothing that would hold me back. This is all for broke, leaving it all out there. If there ever was a chance to leave it all out on the field, you know, for a particular game, this would be the one. Hell, I'm ready to play now. Let's go.
Yeah.
Just suit me up. Let me get out there. I'll get my ass whipped, but by God, I'll leave it all out on the field.
Right. And you never know. And you never know if you're going to get another chance.
That's exactly
right.
You don't. You don't. And I think Teddy's talked about that, and obviously Junior Seau's talked about
Junior's
that.
Junior's the guy. I mean,
You don't know. And he came back. He came out of his retirement with quotation marks around it because you just don't know if you're going to get another chance. And he had a chance to come to play with a team that he thought at least gave him a chance to have that chance.
Yeah.
And now he's getting a chance to live that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't be but just thrilled to death for a guy like that because he seems to be such a stand-up guy and great human being and all the good stuff that goes around with being a great football player and the fact that he's still got gas in the tank at a ripe old age of 37 or 38. What is he, 38?
39. He turned 39 the day before the game.
Yeah. Before the game. That's right. Saturday, just turned 39, right. So, I mean, oh, my God, he's getting up there into rook era age here. And I, you know,
is he going to catch you?
He won't catch me.
No.
Unfortunately, he'll never catch me, but he's getting closer. You like to have people like that involved. You like to see good things happen.
And we got a few. There's a
people.
Few others as well. You know,
oh,
Kyle
sure.
Brady, who's been around for 13 years
long
now,
time. Right?
And Moss, yeah. Yep.
Moss is an obvious one.
You know, certainly Moss and Dante Stallworth, not as lengthy a career, but you know, you got guys.
How about guys that you know haven't been in the playoffs before? Welker's one of those. I mean, he's
Welker.
Still relatively young in his NFL career, but I mean, you know, guys that don't have the playoff experience.
Yeah.
You know, just to have them, especially if they've come from another team where they've experienced not a lot of success,
well,
and all of a sudden come here and have instant success. You got to be happy for them. They're contributing to that.
In 03, they had Rodney. In 04, it was Dylan.
Right.
Now this year, it's Seau, but a few other guys as well. Just guys who, you know, you take the core, the Patriots core, who had been there, let's say, in 01. They welcome Rodney, and they felt great about giving Rodney this experience and sharing it with them.
Sure.
Then you take all those guys from 01 and 03. They brought Dylan in, and they felt great about having that experience with him. And now all those guys who were there for 01, 03, 04, or just 03 and 04, they bring a Seau, they bring a Moss, they bring Kyle Brady, and they feel special about it from their own personal standpoint, but to share it with these guys who they know I just put so much into it to get the one opportunity to be able to experience it with them. That's something that they talk about a lot. That's something we're going to hear from them over the next week.
All right, let's sneak in a couple of extra emails. Scott, by the way, finished up by saying, what would I improve about the team? The pass rush. It's not bad, but we seem to have trouble getting to the quarterback on a consistent basis. I was surprised how little we knocked around Phillip Rivers, and it seems quarterbacks have too much time back there. Now, maybe that's because we're scheming that way. For instance, against the Jags, we wanted to stop the run and contain a potentially scrambling quarterback in Garrard, but just generally, I'd like to see us flustering and hitting opposing quarterbacks with better in-your-face pressure. I would also agree with that, but I think he answered his own question. It was part of the scheme.
Yeah.
That's what they were hoping to try to do.
If they really want to get after a quarterback, especially if they really wanted to get after Phillip Rivers, who they knew wasn't 100%, they could have done it. They just would have been leaving themselves vulnerable in other areas. They really wanted to rush 5, 6, 7 guys, right, you know, blitzing from the safety and all that. They could have done it, but they would have been vulnerable elsewhere.
Quayo from College Station, Texas. I would have to love to have taller corners, and also a linebacker who's a bit faster and help with pass coverage a bit more.
Now, wait a minute. We're not talking, I mean, this is for April in the draft, and we're talking about things that could, he's nitpicking. Right.
But that's what I asked. I'm nitpicking.
Towards next week's game, or yeah, we're talking like grand scheme.
Well,
let's go.
You could probably apply it both ways, right? Let's see. Patrick in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, says he's a first-time writer. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. Hope you write again. He says, it may be nitpicking, but just one more inside linebacker to help give Junior and Teddy a break once in a while. With Colvin out, it would be nice to have one more fast, sturdy, 250-pound monster in the middle.
How remarkable is it that Teddy Bruschi and Junior Seau have combined to play 36 games this year?
I think it's remarkable.
That might be the most staggering item from this year, or maybe the most improbable. If you entered this season on September 8th and
knowing that you're going to have to rely on Seau and Bruschi game in and day out, but if you said
here's something, what are the chances Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi combine to play every game through the playoffs, through the Super Bowl, they don't miss a single game? That would have been something you'd say, just don't see it. Their age, their injury, you know, some recent injury history. I mean, Teddy Bruschi has come back from a stroke in recent, you know, it's to think that those two guys could go the distance, and not just go the distance, but since Roosevelt Colvin went down, pretty much been just about every down player. That's amazing. But going into 08, they're going to have some work to do there. If we're nitpicking, yeah.
Absolutely. Charles in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know what to point out today about yesterday's game, or I guess Sunday's game, as the case may be. I really don't have anything, because they most likely will fix whatever needs to be fixed, and they'll probably come out with a whole new game plan than the run-down-their-throats-all-day-long game plan like they employed in the second half on Sunday. In fact, I think the last major nitpicks have been Maroney not running well, and we now certainly can't say that anymore. That is really remarkable, because they really don't have any glaring flaws, and any flaws they have are truly nitpicks. These Patriots bring the whole package so effectively every game.
Yep. He's right, and they've corrected anything that's been considered, I guess, it's probably been a nitpick from day one, but anything that's been needed to improve, they've pretty much fixed, I guess you could use that word.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're getting it done, so really, how can you nitpick?
Right. That's why you haven't.
Oh, you're no fun.
That's why you haven't come
I
up with your own.
Come play the game with us. Gotta play the game.
Come on. It's hard to fix something that's not broken, right?
Yeah. It's true.
Well, you could have stayed.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's you could have stayed close to your hometown and done, been the host of
Dolphins
today.
Yes.
And then you would have been doing the show right now and been saying, try to come up with something positive from the season.
Try to come up with something positive.
Yeah. Right.
Come up with one positive thing out of the
season.
Can you?
And you wouldn't have been able to do it. The only positive would have been number one draft pick.
And Bill Parcells.
You know, right. If they had gone 8-8, maybe they wouldn't have fired their coach and fired their GM and wouldn't have hired Bill Parcells. Maybe.
Oh, Dolphins. Poor Dolphins.
Nobody around here is really pretty.
You're not going to get anybody crying about the Dolphins around here.
They're still saying, squish the fish.
Yes, we still do. We still remember that fondly.
Yeah.
Donna in Portland, Maine says, I was very impressed with the Pats running game in the second half of the game on Sunday. In the third quarter, after running the ball all the way down to the, 2-yard line, why would the Pats continue to run the ball into the end zone instead of throwing for an interception? You know, the thought had also crossed my mind, Donna. I mean, honestly, you run the ball all the way, and then obviously...
the play call wasn't, let's throw an interception. The play call...
No, of course not. But, I mean, you're talking about the one that Cromartie picked off, and, you know...
Right.
And
it was one of Brady's worst throws of that game, but really one of his worst throws, you know, in probably his postseason career. Just, it was one of those where he even acknowledged, I think, after the game, I didn't see him. You know, he saw, was it Watson? That he was
trying to hit Watson in the back.
And
it wasn't just
Cromartie. I think there was another defender who was in the area there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we go back to, well, things that they've been successful at all year. Well, you know, their goal line passing offense has not been a terrible has not been that bad. So, you know, they're probably thinking, well, we have some we can squeeze it in there or whatever. Bad play. I'm not going to necessarily say bad play call, but as we saw as the game went on, I mean, the running game was certainly
correct.
Starting to carry him.
Correct. All right. Well, let's before we wrap it up here, once again, let's tell everybody that starting next Sunday again, you guys with all of the Totally Patriots coverage, Patriots Today, Patriots Now, the podcast will begin next Sunday right here on the website, so everything is be up to date. You guys are actually going to supersede the team being in Arizona by a day, right?
Belichick is sending us early. Brian, Christina, I want you guys to go Saturday. We'll meet you there. Just we'll be there Sunday. You know, we'll go. We'll go out to you.
Whatever.
Actually, yeah, that's true. Our boss has told us to go Saturday.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And we've got we've got shows all this week as well.
Give us a bit of an idea of what you're going to be talking about this week.
We're just going to wrap up the AFC Championship game pretty much, and then start looking ahead to the Giants. Once we're out there Sunday. Most of the coverage will be obviously on the Patriots every step of every day, including shows to wrap up, you know, the story, the news, whatever it might be of that day. So
okay. It's
going to be a lot of fun.
The news, the fun and games, the shenanigans, maybe, as you mentioned, some of the social activities, John.
Well, that's what I'm interested in most, you know.
Well, you know, maybe we'll...
I want to see... I mean, I come on.
We'll satisfy that.
I want to see who's being seen with whom, okay?
That's right.
I mean, that's what
that's
I'm
right.
into. I want to know this info. You know,
hey,
who's taking care of Giselle while Tom is busy? I need to know these things.
That's right. Well, you know, I mean, Tom, even with the walking boot, I mean, he's still Dan Klecko, this will be his first. He went to the Super Bowl. He won three Super Bowls in his first four seasons. This will be his first. In 05, he didn't win one, but
no.
He won three in his first four. So I guess he's
pretty good
this week.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, that's right. Think about Adam Vinatieri, too.
Yeah.
You know, first season out of New England, he goes and wins one with Indianapolis, and
yep.
Now, sorry, Adam.
What's he going to do? Yeah, maybe
he'll
be there as well. Maybe he'll be there as well. Invite the whole Colts team. Peyton's going to be there to see his brother, I assume. So
Peyton, unfortunately, will be there on television many times over, undoubtedly.
Can you imagine what Peyton would be thinking right now if he didn't win the Super Bowl last year and Eli got there before him?
Oh, that would be...
What's up, man?
I wouldn't feel bad. I'm not saying that.
That would be cruel.
Can you imagine what he'd be...
Cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah. Can you imagine
that? Little brother get there before you do.
And if little brother had a chance to beat the Patriots in a big game before he did, can you imagine if that were to have happened?
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Good to see you guys.
You too. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for spending a little part of your afternoon here and
always
plugging the fact. And we'll be looking forward to all of your content next week, later this week, and into next week from Arizona.
We'll be there for you.
Same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow, mañana, right here on Patriots.com Radio.